Just ein Ados Siman Ein Beis Halacha Yud Aleph, and we're going to Halacha Yud Tes. We're going back to Hilcha Shabbos until next Purim. So the Kitzur is teaching us the following. There's a mitzvah. The Gemara says Maseches Brachas. It's one of the only things that there's an explicit segula for longevity, and that is Shnayim Mikav Echatagim, to read the psukim twice and to then read it once with the translation. Many different forms of how to do so. The kids already points out that and there's many different forms of doing so. So the Kitzur actually says Yeshukos Kol Parsha Dain Psuchos Tuma. Basically, read the parsha. Parsha here means the sections based on what's called Psuchos Tuma, is where you see in the actual Torah itself, in the scroll itself, where there's an opening. I mean, the end of the line. It doesn't, there's a, like, so to speak, a window. It's open. There's no, the next verse doesn't start in the same line. So that's called psucha, versus if it starts in the same line, it's called stuma. Now, the bottom line is, which is actually what the Vilna Gaon used to do, is that every single day he would do about a parsha where it was close to an aliyah. And he would read it twice, the psukim twice, and he would read it with the targum, with the translation of the Aramaic translation. Now, there's many different, today, first of all, as the Kitzur points out, that Lechatchil Yirei Shamayim should, and Shechonoch says also that the Yirei Shamayim should use Rashi. Meaning, when you're learning the Pasha, what's the objective? The objective is that you are going through the Pasha and you're going to understand what's being said. It's not something you rattle off. I think it's sometimes a mistake, the mistaken notion. The main purpose is to know, and so by the time it comes to Shabbos, you are ready to, and you're joining everyone, understanding what Hashem is telling us. I think that's the main objective. And I think maybe there's a powerful, so to speak, last reading, which is the main reading, of course, on Shabbos, which is the public reading. That's what a lot of people do, is they actually read the Psukim once, the Targum once, and then the Yotze, the other Mikra, the other reading, with the reading of the Baal Korah. Now, the Kitzur says that from Yom Rishon Veilech, that means from the first day, from technically from Sunday, but really means after Shabbos Mincha, you could already start doing Shnayim Mikav Echatagim for the next Shabbos. There's a lot of beautiful Kabbalistic things also that a person should have in mind, even when it comes to Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Interesting that a person starts accepting what's called Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, different forms of his of our soul are, so to speak, taking on a different layer of clothing until we get to Friday, where there's such a big inyan. We're going to the mikveh and getting ready and preparing, as we'll see. Lemaise, it's this interesting discussion I once saw from Reb Chaim Kanievsky, who was at Stack of the Yurt, was yesterday, regarding whether women also have the obligation. I saw different sources from Reb Chaim. It seems that the women certainly didn't have an obligation to do Shnayim Mikav Echatagim, probably because it's part of the Chiyuv of Talmud Torah, which they don't have that obligation. But at the same time, I think it's extremely worthy to go through the parasha. And especially because women are obligated to learn Torah that applies to them. And therefore, the lessons of the parasha, I think the whole objective of the Shnayim Mikav Echatagim is really to understand what Hashem is telling us each week. And each week, obviously, there's a special Siyata Dishmaya. So, as Chazal said, like I said, many times the Yetzer Hara is not to do Shnayim Mikav Echatagim. And especially in Yeshiva, someone that's a Talmud Chacham sometimes thinks it's not for him. But really, everyone is obligated, and there's an arichus yom, and there's longevity. As I mentioned, there's a lot of interesting things also to prepare. There's a minyag also to read the haftarah, which I don't think, haven't seen most people do so, but there's a beautiful minyag to do so, and it's actually good because if you get maftir, then suddenly you're given the opportunity to read haftarah. Sometimes a person's not ready. So that's another reason to go through the haftarah. There's also a custom to read Shir HaShirim. We should be zeich every Friday for Shabbos to read Shir HaShirim. It's a very, very auspicious thing to do. Someone that doesn't have a chumash on the way, the kitzur says the person traveling and doesn't have any targum, so he could read two times the mikra. And like we said, when he comes to home, he'll read the targum. The kitzur already says that if a person can't read the targum and he can't read Rashi, maybe, so he should read what's called Perush Ashkenazi. Today, the art scroll incorporates really the interpretation of Rashi, so therefore I think it's halachically definitely I would say sometimes even preferred more than anything to go through the parasha with the Rashi. So of course, again, it's good. I mean, with what's called the art school translation. And today you have other good translations. Next, like I mentioned, there's a mitzvah to prepare oneself physically too, and that's to wash one's face, hands, and feet minimum with hot water, and preferably, and especially b'zman hazeh, that we take showers to almost every day. Most people take a shower every day, so therefore, especially for Shabbos, to take a shower, and even the kitzur points out to go to the mikveh if possible. And then he discusses the carefulness, the halachic carefulness, when it comes to going to a public mikveh, meaning the halacha is to go with someone else to the mikveh. So a person's not allowed to really bathe with his father or his father-in-law, or his stepfather, or his brother-in-law. There's a halacha that a person there shouldn't go to the bathhouse together. But if it's a place where they're modest and they really cover themselves up with towels, etc., then it shouldn't be a problem. Same thing as when it comes to a student with his Rebbe, unless the Rebbe needs him. Now, this is a very important thing that Bezman is there. It's almost the opposite. There's an obligation for father and a parent to be very, very vigilant and careful about their children. So you have to do it in a way where you're making sure that the children are washed, especially in these public type of mikvahs, etc. There's a mitzvah to wash one's head, and preferably to use soap and shampoo, but really that's not me'akev. It doesn't delay the mitzvah of how you prepare yourself. And to shave, and to, first of all, to shave hair, cut hair, and to cut nails. Now, there's a whole discussion. Kitzur says not to do cutting nails and hands and feet on the same day, but many say that's not a problem, but bezman hazeh. Even meaning it's a more of a spiritual, so called what we call like a spiritual effect when a person does cuts his hand, the nails of both his hands and feet. Some say it's also because they do that when a person dies, etc. But really, the halacha, it's not a problem. There's a custom which I've mentioned recently from Yehuda Chassid, not to shave on Rosh Chodesh, and some even extend it to cutting nails. But really, as Mishnah Berurah himself says, it wasn't a widespread custom. And someone that doesn't have a real custom of Yehuda Chassid, there's definitely room to be lenient. When it comes to cutting nails, interesting halacha that a person has. There's an actual, also somewhat Kabbalistic, let's call it, or spiritual effect when a person cuts his nails in the order. So therefore, we change the order, and the custom is that on the right hand you do what's called bedeaga. What's bedeaga? So it means that base refers to your second finger. That's the index finger. I mean, if you look at your right hand, and your fingers are facing you, you're going to start with the second finger, then go to fourth finger, then go to the first finger, which is your thumb, then the middle finger, and then the fifth, your pinky. When it comes to your left hand, the way to do it is de behaga. So again, you start with the fourth, etc. Now, those, including the Arizal, that strangely enough say that they actually laughed at this and felt that this is not a concern at all. So the custom is to do it at least out of order, not in a very straight order, and this way you really avoid any spiritual harm. There's another interesting hakpada, we'll call it, alechatchila, a chumra that a person should not cut his nails on Thursday. And the reason is because then if they cut it on Thursday, by the third day, which is Shabbos, it starts to grow, and it's a little bit of what's called the zilzul to Shabbos. It also depends for so how quickly people's nails are, and therefore, certainly if a person has a concern, he won't be able to do it on Friday, etc. He's allowed to do it on Thursday. There's another, what we call a chassid, someone that's a pious person, burns the nails that they cut, because again, there's some spiritual effect that are dangerous, especially to throw it where a woman is in public places where a woman is pregnant. There's always a question when a woman wants to go for a manicure. So the best etzah for that is, if she's pregnant, to ask for the first appointment, or at least ask them to sweep, because if you push away the nails from where it fell, usually where it was placed, it's not a problem. Erev Shabbos is another beautiful custom to be mefashvish, to go through and one's deeds of the week, because Friday, so to speak, includes all 6 days. And when a person does tshuva, it's like it's also the same thing when it comes to Erev HaShchodesh. When you do tshuva on Erev HaShchodesh, it's atoning and taking care of all the past 29 days of the month. So it's a very auspicious time. Person should be careful and put some effort into making sure that he has nice clothing, a talis of mitzvah for covered Shabbos. Really, according to Mishavur, there's an inyan for every part of our clothing to be Shabbos, meaning special for Shabbos. But really, make a din, it's only it doesn't include the undergarments, as long as, of course, as they are clean. It's actually based on the pasuk, v'chibatoi, Chazal says, your clothing should be different. So therefore, one should have what's called Shabbos clothing. And even if it's amongst non-Jews, they should wear Bigdei Shabbos, because the honor, the wearing of these clothing is not for the people that are seen, but rather it's for covered Shabbos. It's amazing. We had discussed before, you have to look at Shabbos as a king that's entering into your house. Now, when it comes to the cookings, here we go through a very intricate, and especially our today's world is a little bit, you have to know how to apply the halachas that we're going to learn now to our modern day ovens. And there are many, with the Shabbos modes, with the new people that have a lot of the warming drawers. But we're going to try to explain, based on the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, what really the foundations of these halachas, and then how to apply it. So when it comes to the Kitzur says, cooked items, you have to make sure that you remove them from the coals. So again, we usually have our food in coals. But the concern is that when you're going to take the pot from the coals, it might cause, as you're stirring, you're going to move around the coals, and you're going to cause them to burn more. So that's aser because of havara. Do a non-Jew, you're allowed to. Why is that? Because psik resha, that means when you tell a non-Jew to do something that there is no intention to cause malach to be done, and even though it's going to be done inevitably, it's mutter, it's permitted. For example, you're allowed to tell a non-Jew to take something out of your car, even though you know the light's going to go on, because their intention is not to turn on the light. And for me, I'm not allowed to do that because it's a psik resha, but I'm allowed to tell a non-Jew. Now, again, the applications to the our modern day situations is that we may not have any coals, but there are many times where, for example, you have a crock pot, and this if the food is not fully cooked, and you open up the pot Friday night because you want to see if it's ready, and then you notice that the beans are not ready yet, you're in really serious trouble because you won't be able to close the pot again. And in fact, that's what the Kitzut says here in Yudches. He says that the cooked items that they have in the oven, they used to seal the oven, you know, that's how they kept the heat. And make sure that the food is yummy and hot for the next day or for Friday night. Now, the concern is that when a person is going to open these ovens, maybe the pots are not going to be cooked, and then he's going to try to reseal them, and this way it can be considered mamish cooking because you're accelerating the cooking process by closing it. That's why that would be a very good application when it comes to our crock pots. There's another situation that the kids is discussing, and that is when the person has food that is in the oven, but it's not fully cooked. Now, what's the concern? The concern is that whenever you leave food on the, and let's apply it to our, let's say, put a leave. Someone just asked me this in the Eretz Yisrael. He wanted to leave soup on the fire. Now, you wanted to be on an open fire. Is there what's the concern? Meaning, you didn't want to use what's called a plata, a blech. Is there any problem? Well, you show up to the hotel and you didn't have a blech with you. Can you put the food onto the fire? And the answer is that there's a concern here of shehiyah. Shehiyah means I can't leave food on a fire before Shabbos, lest I come during Shabbos and see that it's not cooking fast enough. I'm going to accelerate the heat. Now, this is the reason why we have what's called garfa katam. The purpose of the blech is really to remind us. So the fire is covered, and number one, it reminds us not to play around with the fire. In truth, Moshe writes in his famous Tshuva that today the main place of covering should really be not on the actual fire, because that's not where you stoke the fire. It's actually on the buttons and the actual. Now, we don't even have today. You don't have any knobs today. Most of the ovens today have just buttons that you press. So the Ikka point is to make sure that the covered fire, the place of the where the fire is covered, and also really the chatchila where you might play around and actually to cause the fire to go to accelerate. Lemaise, the minig is, and I saw even in Yerushalayim, the minig is today is certainly the chatchila, and even the Bialach already mentions this, to cover, to have, even if it's fully cooked food, meaning never to look, it should always use some type of what's called garfa katam. And the reason why is because many times a person could end up making a mistake. But me'ikar hadin, if something is fully cooked, then it's not a concern, and really you don't need a blech. And even if something is not fully cooked, the opposite, it's like raw, and it will not cook until Shabbos morning. There is what to rely on. The problem today is like you put on something into the crock pot, and it could be ready by the time you're coming home from shul. So that's the reason why even a regular crock pot, you should cover the knobs or take the knobs off, and this way you usually avoid most problem like this. So the chatchila best today, bezman, is that to have everything fully cooked. And even if it's not fully cooked, best to not rely on situations where it's already it's not going to cook. Instead, rather the best thing is to cover and make it what's called garfa katum. Have a beautiful day.